The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening where we will begin the doctrine of pride. I'm not talking about a bunch of lions. All right, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you can benefit, that you do benefit to the maximum possible in regards to being in Bible class, sitting under the teaching of God's Word as it's done correctly, and that is via God the Holy Spirit in His filling role. As believers, we engage in personal sin. We're not perfect experientially. God recognized that, but through Christ's work on the cross, we are able through grace to simply acknowledge those sins to God. He forgives us experientially. We are filled with God the Holy Spirit, and we are therefore predisposed in that condition of spirituality to ascertain, discern the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature otherwise. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask you bless us in assimilation of these things and inhale faith and to utilize it and exhale faith appropriately to glorify you in our own witness and application of doctrine in our own lives, all via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Reviewing here the doctrine of pride as a result of Hagar getting under a mode of pride. She became condescending, arrogant, if you will, which led her to rebellion in regards to her authorities in life and in regards to, obviously, God's will for her life otherwise. So it behooves us to remind ourselves in regards to a characteristic, a condition that the cosmos promotes. And in its promotion is almost across the board sinful with respect to individuals and their attitudes towards others as well as towards themselves in this respect. So Roman numeral 1, under introduction and definition of pride. First of all, A, pride is to be differentiated from sanctified, that which is non-sinful, exaltation. Pride is simply to exalt in some form or fashion. Especially when spoken of God, that is obviously non-sinful. As God exalts others, and recognition of those that exalt God. Example, non-sinful pride, if you will, exaltation. 2 Samuel 22:47. The Lord lives, Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be God, to be raised to the pinnacle of the magnitude of His person. The rock of my salvation, through His essence, His attributes, our salvation is completely and totally secured. Psalm 18:46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. A similar rendition. 46:10. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving. Obviously, faith rest, put it in God's hands, stop the energy of the flesh, and know that I am God. Simple recognition of who and what the creator of the universe is. That faith, that belief is what we need. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. While it may seem that the earth has forgot God, completely disrespectful to Him, seeks to downtrod Him in name and reputation and the means available, I understand God will ultimately be exalted with respect to all His creation. All the nations will recognize Him exactly for what the Bible depicts Him to be. Psalm 75, 7. But God is a judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Looks at His role in regards to exalting others in time, as we are studying in the life of Abraham, and God exalted him in that respect. So God exalts others. That's His call. Our test is to not self-exalt, but let God do that exalting for us. Acts 2:33, New Testament. In regards to Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself at the first advent under kenosis, the doctrine of standing under God, not recognizing equality with the Father. In His ministry as Messiah, He submitted Himself in total humility, even to the two deaths mentioned. And in turn, God exalted Him to the highest position there is. Verse 33, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, our Jesus Christ, who received a resurrection body for His troubles, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, whom the Son asked the Father to send for us in this dispensation, in His specialized ministry of indwelling, the Pentecostal types, holy rollers of this world, others proclaim you got to ask for the Holy Spirit. No, you don't. Jesus Christ already did the asking. While His asking wasn't good enough for you? No, it becomes automatic. The writer of Acts and just the believers otherwise understood that. And obviously, it recognizes the Holy Spirit as our helper, as the Son is now in His glorified state in resurrection at the right hand of God, albeit temporarily, until He should return to this planet. His forthwith, which you both see and hear. So Acts 2:33, Acts 5:31. He, Christ, the one that the Jews crucified, is the one whom God exalted to His right hand as a prince, the titles bestowed upon Him, and a Savior, a deliverer, to grant repentance, a change of mind to Israel, and forgiveness of sins. He will be and is Israel's salvation. Romans 15:17. To boast is parallel to pride, sinful boasting, and there's non-sinful boasting, as there is in many areas of life, just like we're dealing with pride. And Paul states, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, as Jesus Christ obviously exemplified and evidenced the things of God as He was the perfect exegesis of God in life and thought, in manner of life, method of operation, in His thinking, etc. 1 Corinthians 1:31. So to have pride in the righteous manifestation of God in form, word, etc. That's non-sinful. To have pride in God's word. 1 Corinthians 1:31. That just as it is written, let him who boasts in the Lord. What he did for us, what he accomplished on behalf of God's plan, salvation, and the entirety of the angelic conflict. That's where you raise your banner. That's what you exalt. That we have sanctified pride in regards to all that he is and has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:12-13. This is why he is our celebrity of life. In regards to again, Paul, and his role as an authority, communicator, apostle, on the heels of the fact that all of us ultimately will face Jesus Christ face to face. Whatever people think or say or do, whatever disagreement they may have with us, what we believe, proclaim in regards to the doctrine, no biggie. Save it for Jesus Christ. Take your ideology, your human viewpoint, your pursuits of life apart from the scriptures and present them before Jesus Christ and see what it gets you. A red face if you're a believer. Eternal condemnation if you're not. Verse 12, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to literally boast of us, to have pride in the adjusted communicator who is there representing Bible doctrine, that you may have a response for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart, to give the facade of godliness, the godly crust in life, like the Fundies and other religious types, others who hold to humanitarian ideals, etc. It's all an appearance, but in their heart, what you find is something that is remiss in regards to truly being in the Lord, based on God's terms and conditions. I was thinking of a concise definition again of the metaphorical use of heart. It appears to me to be a determined intellectual and spiritual reality of the essence of the individual. It comes from the soul. It includes the brain computer, the essence of spirit, whatever spirit that may follow, whether it's the spirit of the world under human viewpoint, they say satanic spirit, or under the spirit of God. That's your heart. Your determined intellectual knowledge and operation of spirit as a person in time. So, it's about as good as I can come up with. But he boasts in regards to those who hold to the substance of what they represent is what they're holding up to exalt. See, adjust communicators aren't there to, if you will, pat themselves on the back, hold themselves up as the Pope, you know, to seek the glory of men in regards to their position in ministry. No, just communicators are there to hold up the content of Scripture, all that God is and is represented as in Scripture, in the plan of God under salvation, the person of Jesus Christ, all these things, Bible doctrine. That's what we wave to others, if you will, of what we have pride in, and obviously self-edification for the adjusted communicator comes in regards to the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in their own lives, in their ability to communicate in such fashion. Verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. The whole idea is obviously on behalf of other positive volition to benefit from the spiritual gift given the individual who is the communicator, whatever it may be, temporal, obviously, the communicating gift of prophecy, then the extant gift of teaching as it may function in the office. See, both of these. Then 1 Peter 5:6, so sanctified pride can be had in the adjusted communicator who... most pressing responsibility is to represent accurately the truth of Bible doctrine and to hold it up as their glory, if you will, in life. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves. True humility is not necessarily in one's disposition and life, how they may act, a pious appearance. The people try to emulate what they think humility is, being wimpy, you know, things of that nature. No, true humility is simply submission to the authority of God. In all respects to God, via Bible doctrine, God the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. And when one is willing to submit themselves in such fashion in regards to their pursuit of life and living of life, they can expect vindication, ultimately, not from their neighbors next door, not to speak negatively of any neighbors, people, but the kids at school, or the crowds in the arena, no, by the Almighty Creator Himself. If you want someone to be with you and present you before others with all the accolades that person can get, who would you want it to be? Someone will give you a gold medal, and when you squander all your money, you can try to trade it and get you a couple of dollars, even though it's not full gold anymore. Cheap-ass people. But anyway, there I am. The great mercies. Be humble, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Submit to whatever He brings to you in your life in forms of discipline, testing, pressure, as well as His deliverances. All these things are examples of being under the hand of God. And when you do, that He may exalt you at the proper time. He takes it into account. And essentially and eventually, He will hold all those up for the approbation of everyone to see and to bestow upon them in glory. And there's many other cases and examples of sanctified pride. So this doctrine predominantly deals with sin pride, but there is obviously also sanctified or non-sinful pride, which is directed towards God, just like there's sin fear. But then there's righteous fear, fearing God. So B, pride, SCA pride, sin pride, is an inordinate or exaggerated self-esteem. Self-esteem. Now, psychology as a, I hesitate to call it a science, an art, has done much to destroy the tentacles of Bible doctrine in regards to people and their attitudes towards themselves and others, with all their human viewpoint approach in regards to life, rejecting certain aspects of doctrine, especially to categorize behaviors of individuals. I initially got into it when I was in school because I saw it as an easy bullshit schooling that I could go through and get a degree. And I use the word bullshit appropriately, because that's what most of psychology is. I've been there, I've seen it, I've studied it, and that's exactly, even as a reversionist, I recognize that. But I say, well, this might be an easy buck. But, you know, as things go with people's lives, and okay, it's easy, I've done it, been there, kind of, so let's move on to something different. That was me, my SCA. But anyway, self-esteem. Our society, the media, organizations are constantly writing other members of society in regards to people's self-esteem. See, their ego, that's what it is. One's ego. That you got to feed it. One has to think so worthy of themselves. Otherwise, they get into these mental depressions, and then all of a sudden they become candidates for suicide and things of this nature. What a bunch of idiots. And I'm not denigrating people that have these conditions, but in regards to the attitude and approach to it. See. Self-pity. All these things are nothing more than sin nature activity in the individual that will not be bridled by that individual. Either because they don't want to, well, that's usually the bottom line, or because of incapability of doing so as being unbelievers, and just the SCA just runs amok in their life anyway. Things of this nature, see. Reversionism supports that inability. They're not utilizing the proper protocol of victorious experience in the Christian life of rebound and applying doctrine otherwise in their lives. Isolating their sin nature. It takes work. You see it all the time in regards to things like on Facebook and stuff, you know. Who loves me? Nobody loves me. That kind of attitude in regards to people. Well, if you wasn't so ugly, we might like you a little bit. You know. People coddle. See. What I say, one of my favorite sayings I've heard from any Hollywood entertainment as of late is Clint Eastwood. And he calls this generation today a vagina generation. And I put it in mild terms. That's what we're doing. We're coddling everybody. See, and not calling people to task. You hear all this crazy stuff. Parents don't ever discipline their children, and they don't say no to them in anything. Well, what do you expect is going to come out of this? See, and it's all in the name of self-esteem. See, that's what they promote. It's one thing to have confidence. To recognize one's ability and to believe in things of this nature, but to take it and bring it about as a means of self-worth beyond a certain point, obviously, it becomes nothing more or less than pride in regards to the individual's life. The bottom line is, you are what you are and what you are able to do based on ultimately what God is and what He has permitted or directed in regard to individual's life. That's it. That's why we should always, no matter how successful, and we recognize these things in regards to people. One is in regards to their endeavors, etc., to always remember and give credit to God. You have the appearance out there of people that do that. You know, the athletes, they just love for some reason to play their religious role on Sundays. That instead of being in Bible class, they're playing football. They're God. See, bow down, genuflect. And now you see all the crazy stuff that's going on now. But anyway, you know, and look up like, thank you God for giving me that touchdown. How come they don't do that whenever they miss a tackle? Thank you, God, for not letting me get killed. You know, that's what I'd be praying every time. But anyway. So pride and inordinate and exaggerated self-esteem. These are things that really, in your soul, in your mind, you've got to not only assimilate this information, but you do have to have that attitude that you are willing to hammer when this stuff crops up in regards to your life, to keep it subdued and not let it control your life and run your life with that type of engine. So it is point C, arrogance, and part of the lust trend of the SCA. Arrogance underwrites all sin. Pride, obviously, is fallout from arrogance. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Righteous fear is to see evil in its proper light, the light of doctrine, as being that which is an abhorrence to God. Pride and arrogance are listed together. And the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Perverted is being crooked. See, it's not in the normal thought processes of the truth of doctrine. It's contrary to doctrine. So, how people paint their words through emotions and piousness and their religiosity. You know, all this is designed to make your words look like something that are beautiful. But anytime those words are out of step with the truth of Bible doctrine, God makes it very clear He hates it. It's ugly to Him. It's abnormal in thought. See, Mark 7:21 and 22, New Testament. In regards to a list of SCA actions and activities, which it all stems from within. All sin begins in the mental attitude. As we know, all sin begins in the mental attitude and exists within the mental attitude. It exists in speech and then it is overt. It goes overt. You have mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, and then overt sins. And what you try to do is catch them in your thoughts. And hopefully they don't go verbal or overt, but the weakness of the flesh, you never know. And here in these particular verses, Christ clarifies what He meant when He said our bodies were a temple of God and we weren't to defile the temple, contrary to what the fundies and a lot of Christians will try to tell you otherwise, that, you know, eating meat or drinking or smoking or other physical things and activities in life is that which defiles the temple. They're completely out to lunch. Obviously, it can. if one lets it become their God in life, interferes with Bible doctrine, etc. But Christ makes it clear that what defiles the temple comes out of man, not goes into man. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, out of the determined, intellectual, spiritual essence, proceed the evil thoughts, sexually, fornications, other types of lust, which involve theft, murders, hate, adulteries, again sexual, works of coveting, lusting in general, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. D, self-pride is a feeling of elation because of what one is, has, or accomplishes. So, pride, if you will, feeds emotion. Probably one reason why it's sought after by those who run their lives on emotions, how they feel, etc. Emotions are designed to be responders. Anger, happiness, sadness. To be elated, extremely happy, can be brought about through pride, self-pride. Look what I did, see, type of deal. Well, we recognize, again, success, doing things good, and they are to be recognized as such. But it is also to be maintained within the constraints of recognizing that these things in and of themselves are not to be allowed to cause our conduct to arise beyond what we are truly as temporary human beings in time that eventually will die physically and meet our Maker. E, conceit is synonymous to pride. Conceit, vanity. See, all these things are a part of pride. And boasting verbally is verbal evidence of that pride. 2 Timothy 3:4. In regards to again, SE activity that goes rampant in the last days. You can look out there and it's almost like these SEA descriptions paint the human race almost anymore, especially around in our society. Obviously there's worse, there's better. In verse 4, out of that list, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Then also, in regards to boasting, confer James 4:16. In regards to those who come up with the rationale that excelling in one's financial business endeavors and pursuit of life, it's all right to preempt Bible doctrine, even on a temporary basis, to pursue these things. These individuals are simply deluded, deceiving themselves, etc. They are running under a form of arrogance. Again, how many times a pastor can exhort and lay it out for his sheep, but often God does test us in our lives in regards to things that it doesn't look like you're going to get ahead because you're putting doctrine first. See? And you sacrifice in order to maintain your NPR and make it that which is your schedule. And wait upon God to bring about the circumstances and situations to promote you otherwise. I went through it. I got on doctrine. Went through making money that I was available when I was working oil fields, that kind of bucks, to working in a warehouse for a stationary supply company at minimum wage. Because I'm on doctrine, and I didn't want to do anything that was going to take me out of doctrine. And God kept me humble for a while. I say a while, only about 10, 12 years. Put you in positions, like you got to start at the bottom. And everybody else around you doing the same thing you're doing, they're making big bucks. On occasion, you get an energy flesh, you go out and try to find a job somewhere else that's going to pay that kind of money for you in the same position. And God jams it. Because he wants you there. See? Then eventually, bam. All of a sudden, just out of clear blue, the tides are turned. You didn't have to go out. You didn't have to leave class so you can take extra classes in college and get a degree to excel academically to get there to make that kind of money. See? You understand, God puts a pastor in a position sometimes for many reasons. And a lot of times it's because the pastor's often been there. So he's not willing to bite at the bait that a human viewpoint will sling at him sometimes from others. Now, you got to endure. God's going to test you. You show that endurance. You persevere. And let him exalt you. See? But you have these, just as you have it, as it's always been, in regards to the church, those that constantly are trying to manipulate doctrine, their NPR, in order to get ahead. That's the whole deal. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we went through all this. Verse 13, come now, you say today or tomorrow, we should go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. All you're doing is testing God. See. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. And this is not a rationalization. Well, that's God's will for my life to leave Bible class to do this. Don't be stupid. So God's going to tell you to disobey Hebrews 10:25 and go out and make some dollars. Oh, you can disobey this part of my word. That's the way Sundays think, man. See? No, we're not at that. No, if the Lord wills, looks at His directive will. You want to run off under His permissive will, then you bolt otherwise, see? And God's willing, we will make a livelihood for ourselves and engage in the things that we would like to do and not things that are legitimate. And we're not discounting that. But he puts it in his proper perspective. James does, verse 16. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Their intellectual prowess of thinking, that they have figured it out. See? Well, fortunately for me, I'm just cosmically not smart enough to figure it out for myself. I gave it up a long time ago. I let God do my thinking for me. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Yeah. 1 John 2:16.
that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. Our accomplishments, our successes, whether it be in academia, professions, relationships, whatever. The boastful pride of life, see. Is not from the Father, but is from the world.
If human viewpoint, the SCA, the cosmos itself has sponsored it, you're out of step with God's directive, will otherwise, then no, this is not from the Father. No, it's not His will. See. F, it is the antithesis to grace orientation. It is the opposite. And capacity for life. 1 Timothy 3:6. Here in regards to fun to be a pastor, one must be grace oriented. To remain humble in recognition of his position before God. The idea, well, yeah, so I am a pastor, but I'm still a sheep just like you. All I'm trying to do is get the prize just like you. See, you recognize your position, you recognize your authority. Yeah, you're the boss, you know, of a business. You own a business, you're the boss. You recognize that, but it doesn't mean that you think too highly of yourself. Doesn't mean you don't recognize truly what that means in regards to serving others, the responsibility towards others, et cetera, et cetera. It must be quite a hazard in regards to Christianity, the world of religion, to have a position and easily fall prey to thinking somehow now you're better than others. Otherwise, why would you have this as part of the godliness code in regards to a pastor, verse 6, and not a new convert, unless he become conceited. See, become prideful. And fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. Be under his STA and find a judgment that comes upon him by the world. Because he himself will not maintain the proper attitude and disposition to his office and his responsibilities. And you get slammed. You get judged inappropriately, see, or appropriately, actually. Deserve suffering and judgment. One thing, you know, with the amount of information that God has blessed us with in ascertaining in regards to the Bible, not to become arrogant over it in regards to others, recognizing how easy it is to fall into pride because we do know. Actually, what it should do is stir up Lupe for the ignorance of the masses around you. That they don't know. If you want to use some feeling here, feel sorry for them. So the pastor must be grace oriented. This comes about through time and grade in application, going through his own tests. You know, as we might construe it, going through the beast barracks, a seminary. Working full-time, going to Bible class 5 times a week, and then dumping 12 hours a week, you know, of master studies, graduate studies in regards to 3 years of their life. and you're still going, I can't make enough money. That's beast barracks. Anybody in the military has ever been in the military, they know what I'm talking about. Going through basic training, that type of deal. You got to be trained. And then you show example in regards to living your life appropriately and be able to maintain the proper reputation as a pastor candidate for a number of years, watching the example of the church around you, not ever getting under pride, conceited in that fashion. That somehow now you're greater than your teacher because you've been trained a little bit in the languages. That's like being trained a little bit with martial arts in basic training, and then you go out on a leave and get your butt kicked. See? Now, all these things. There's so many parallels you can draw from. So, you know, to remain humble, to be practiced in regards to having the right attitude and approach in regards to those under your charge. And that comes through experience, much of it. Obviously, the continued discipline of yourself of being in Bible class and making it your NPR and proving it. That's one reason why churches should not ordain a pastor until they have been there for, have proven themselves before the church, and then actually God comes in and opens the doors and they've been asked to go serve in office somewhere. Maranatha, when their first seminary, which I was a part of, they came to that conclusion because they don't want to incur the discipline of sending someone out too early. You let God work that stuff out for you, see. And that really cuts short capacity for life, whether it may be self-inflated for yourself, at the very minimum, upon the others, on those under your charge, to have capacity for what they're going through, see, the test they're going through. I understand. Pastors understand it. They have an STA. They've had their own test of life, and we face it all. Most of us have. So, hence, we have a capacity for your life as well as our own. What it means to be an adjusted, positive believer, especially living in the last days. And you never know what kind of test can come upon your head at any given point in time. Wake up one day, and next thing you know, I got to go to the hospital. You never know. Wake up one day and the Twin Towers are down on the ground, huh? You never know. You never know. Not that that personally impacted any of us to that degree. But you know, you get the idea. 1 Timothy 6:3-4. In regards to those who want to take issue with Bible doctrine, it's not, well, that's all right, you know. You have the right to think what you want to think. Yeah, you do. But not in the attitude, well, that's a good thing. Everybody can think their different ways. See, you have that, that whole philosophy floats around through Christendom. This whole ecumenical ideology. Well, you don't find that in the Bible. You don't find it from coming from the lips of Paul and the likes of him in that kind of attitude. Verse 3, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine corresponding to godliness, God's directive will, being in fellowship, implying the royal imperatives, that is sound doctrine, see. Sound words, sound Bible doctrine. Here's the matter of fact where they're coming from. This is what how they are characterized by Paul. Verse 4, he is conceited and understands nothing. No matter what other vocabulary they may throw in their purported wisdom that they're trying to lay on you otherwise, or their rationale, their arguments, things of that nature. The truth is, they understand nothing. They're out of touch with the real reality. They reject this doctrine, reject this another doctrine, see? And in their rejection, in their distortion, they don't understand a bit what's going on in regards to at least that particular doctrine. And then, obviously, how much does that affect the rest of their life and their thinking? But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. All it does is incite a competitive attitude between people. If you want peace, you want harmony, you've got to be like-minded. That's just the way it is. If you're not like-minded together, then conflict, strife exists. Again, this whole idea, it's really not that important how much you know in regards to doctrine, in regards to living a successful Christian life. Bullshit. I've used that word a couple times tonight. That's just the mood God's put me in. It means everything. What we think, that's the way we're going to respond. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to say. See? And if you don't know what to think, then obviously you're just out there floundering around in this world in a puddle of intellectual disorientation. So that was 6, 3, and 4. Also, verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be conceited, get under pride, because of one's accomplishments or gain of wealth, things of that nature, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, put our reliance totally in regards to our physical capabilities here in terms of money. That'll bail you out. Maybe amazed how fast God can drain that if He's so wanted to put someone in that position. How often do you read regards to millionaires or billionaires almost overnight losing it all? Well, there you go. But on God, who richly supplies with all things to enjoy. And then Psalm 10:2. Pride, the wicked, hotly pursue the afflicted. They have victims, their targets. However, they may be targeted. See, in their arrogance, I'm right, I know the way, I'm better, whatever. They have targets. And they come up with schemes, and it entraps others around them. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. You add that to your prayer list. God, let the evil be caught in the schemes that they come up with. Bring them down, see, in that regards. Gee, pride is a basic sin, but it always has a counterpart. In other words, there's something that one appeals to, or something that supports and becomes the foundation of their pride. Whether it's their looks, their successes, their relationships, things, etc., etc. So you will find a counterpart to whatever one wants to use to exalt themselves in regards to pride. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.